Hey guys, this episode was brought to you by Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/SGC64 for a free audiobook. You'll be helping out the show, and we appreciate you listening.
Super Gamecast 64, episode 77. Today on the show, guys, we're talking about Game of the Year.
GOTY.
GOTY stuff. We're going to have lots of different categories full of GOTY goodness. GOTY goodness. That's kind of all that's going on in this episode. It's going to be a long episode, full of fun, surprises, and laughs.
Strap in.
Terrible, terrible goofs.
Someone want to hit up the DJ real quick?
DJ.
Ooh. The DJ came in on time that time. It was a pretty good time.
DJ got me falling in love tonight.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta love the DJ. Otherwise, who's gonna love you back?
I got nothing, man. I don't even know how to answer that question.
You know what I got?
What?
I got categories.
Ooh.
Categories.
What about dog-agories?
No, don't got into dog-gories. These are all good categories. Categories for Game of the Year 2016. You know what? I'm just going to go with our first category. Let's just jump right into it, guys.
Okay, let's do it.
We don't got time to dilly-dally. First category on the list, best first-person shooter campaign. These are games, we're not taking into account their multiplayer offerings, their loot boxes, whatever. This is solely based on the single or cooperative campaign story mode in a first-person shooter. We had some good ones this year.
Now, in terms of formatting, do you want to list our candidates, or do you just want to come out the gate and just start talking about?
So I'm going to list all the candidates.
The best one is, and why you're wrong.
No, I think what we're going to do is we're going to list all the candidates, and then we'll have time to make case for each one. There's going to be one winner and one runner-up. So
okay.
Someone's going to have to agree with somebody.
I like it.
This will make a good reason for you to make good case for your game. So let's start off with our list of nominees. We got Titanfall 2.
Mm-hmm.
We have Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Great reboot. BioShock Remastered.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of unfair because that's like kind of three games in one.
Yeah, I don't think that's like, that shouldn't be on.
Honorable mention. Right out of the gate. Is anybody going to pick BioShock Remastered as their game of the year? Let's put it out. Right. No.
But what I do want to say is that BioShock has really good.
I mean, it's fantastic, but
really
it
good
had,
everything.
It had
really,
its,
really good glitches.
Yes.
True
with
story.
With the glitchy water. But it had its moment in the sun. Let's let it rest and retire.
All right.
This is the golden.
All right, we'll take it off the list.
Okay.
Continue with the nominations. We
okay.
have Battlefield 1.
Yep.
And then we have Destiny Path of Iron.
Got it.
Kevin tried to sneak this one on, and here's the thing. Technically, Destiny is not a 2015 game, nor is BioShock, so
yes,
I guess
Destiny Path of Iron is a 2016 game.
It's an expansion based upon, we could sit here and talk all day about it. But regardless, Destiny Path of Iron is safe for now. I don't see it winning.
I'm gonna say no on that one too. So let's just knock it out. Let's just go from the bottom to the top. What do you think of that?
Well, but here I want you put this on here for a reason. Why?
I did.
Why is it? Why do you think it's the best campaign of the year?
I don't think it's the best campaign.
We're
of the
making
year. I just
cases
think it's a
for
great
all
candidate.
Of them.
Now let me just say, Destiny itself as a game is a fantastic franchise. I can't wait for Destiny 2. I really love playing Destiny. I certainly have logged a lot of time on Destiny.
See, I think the thing where I fell off on Destiny is the fact that like the base game was not good, and then by the time the expansions came out, or at least the base game wasn't as good as it was going, people assumed it was going to be, and by the time the expansions came out, I already replayed the strikes 800 times. I didn't want to jump back.
Now, here's the caveat I have. I did not start playing Destiny until The Taken King.
Yeah, see, I started playing it the day one.
So, my experience, your mileage may vary, but I really like Destiny because I came into it when it was good.
You just want to make a case for the Path of Iron, man. That's all
for,
right.
For Path of Iron, I mean, generally speaking, the story isn't all that inspired. The gameplay's fun.
Well, I mean, that's Titanfall 2 for you as well.
Right. Right. I mean, generally speaking, Path of Iron, solid choice for this year. That's all I'm saying.
Did you play any Path of Iron, Tyler?
No. I'm not. Like, I fell off after The Taken King and the PowerPoint scandal.
I mean,
there are some. I'm sorry. I just want to throw this out there before he continues. But there are some really cool heroic strikes in this one.
Okay, I believe it.
PowerPoint scandal. What is that?
What's a PowerPoint scandal?
Well, when The Taken King came out,
he was taking them all.
It came with promise of a raid, and then we got it months later. But
raids are good.
What's important about that is You see, when people go raiding,
yeah.
they either expect you to know it or you don't get to go. Okay? So the reason Kevin's laughing is because we had to be taught how to do the raid. The only way to teach someone how to do the raid is either take them through it like a normal person or create a PowerPoint presentation for your friends featuring pictures and hand-drawn things. Imagine
this. It's your first day in the Destiny Army. And you're sitting in a classroom, and all of a sudden the lights go dark, and you just hear the of an old projector casts a screen onto the front of the room.
No, this is how it starts. You're all sitting down, your first day of class over at Destiny Academy. The fucking teacher walks up, he's like, "Hello, my name is Mr. Chief, and I'll be your teacher of Defense Against the Dark Arts." And then he just walks over, flips off lights. Today we're going to be watching a video presentation.
He's like, "Hi, I'm the speaker. We're going to watch a video."
Wheels out the projector, but he's also got one of those cool TVs.
He's
with
got
the VCR.
That overhead projector,
and he's also
right?
Nathan. Yeah. He's also Nathan Fillion. So.
And yeah, he has 8 vis-a-vis markers so that he can draw on the.
But then he realizes that they're permanent. He's like, "Oh shit!
Let me start over."
Anyway, so Path of Iron. There's one particular one that is
spoilers, by the way.
It is equally frustrating and fun. There's a character has used Siva, which is the big bad evil guy this time around, to tear the eye out of an ogre and convert it into a gun.
That's pretty cool.
The ogre has been twisted to have these giant metal hammer fists, okay. and is indestructible.
He's like half Transformer.
Yes.
Shamwood.
It's indestructible, and it chases you around the arena while this guy shoots the ogre eye at you. And it is a 3-person strike. The thing that really got me about this is that it's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Destiny is difficult, but not because it's hard. It's because it's difficult to get through.
Well, it's difficult because there's also the random aspect. If you don't have a third person who knows what they're doing, for example, Josh and I play together, so it's kind of a toss-up. That being said, there's just a lot about it that's fun in a hard way, and I think that's not very easy to find anymore in a lot of games. A lot of them hold your hand through the campaign.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's hard to get a good challenge nowadays when it comes to first-person shooters in general.
But I think that disqualifies Path of Iron because those are not campaign aspects.
Yeah.
Those are
you're taking into account strikes and raids and stuff, which cannot be played single player. So
the campaign itself, I don't remember it. I literally played it 2 weeks ago and I don't remember it.
So all right, I'm going to say
I'm glad I didn't buy that one.
I mean, the multiplayer is what you play Destiny for, and that's what's good about this one. So clearly they learned something.
So I think we're down to the final three.
We
got Titanfall 2. Let's talk about Titanfall 2 real quick. All right, Titanfall 2. What Titanfall did for me mm-hmm. was not only was it a good game, but it was such an improvement on the first. Like, I wanted to love the first so much and just didn't. And then when the second one came out super strong with a killer campaign, which no one really even expected was going to be that good, that's kind of what propelled it up. When you look at other games and other first-person shooters, even though they're all kind of samey now with like the jetpacks and the movement stuff, no real series has dedicated itself to its mechanics like Titanfall did. Like, Titanfall is got platforming in it. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things, they circle around the platforming and also do, like, Optimus Prime robot dude that you get, BT-7247456, whatever.
I think, to steal your thunder here, I think Titanfall did what future discussion point ReCore tried to do.
Yes. ReCore, that's a game.
We'll get to that. But the beauty of Titanfall 2...
I'm so upset about ReCore.
Is the developer's clear ability to think outside the box in terms of gameplay. They took something that already existed that was great, kind of like the gameplay in Assassin's Creed, and how they transitioned it into Assassin's Creed 2. They built upon it in small ways.
They didn't change the whole overarch. They just prettied it up.
Right. And it had a campaign this time.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're not going to count Titanfall 1 campaign. That shit was garbage.
That you didn't have to queue for.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. Online.
Just making that differentiation.
No, that's a good point.
Well, you shouldn't have to queue for a single player campaign.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Exactly. So Titanfall 2, I actually literally just watched Dan, my younger brother, finish this game before I came out to record. And yeah, dude, something about the end of that game. I mean, this is spoilers. So if you haven't finished Titanfall 2.
Skip ahead 30 seconds.
Skip ahead 30
Hold on,
seconds.
I'm gonna skip ahead 30 seconds, y'all.
Okay.
That was fun.
So in the end, when
oh, well.
BT is throwing him, you know, that whole thing at the end section, like, there is something to be said about the fact that BT doesn't really change how he talks to you, mm-hmm. but as you go with him over time, he becomes less formal, and he's like, Cooper, jump inside my body, please. Yeah. And then by the end, even though it's still the same robot...
He's making jokes.
Yeah, he's making jokes, and then you're like, fuck, man. Like, he's kind of, in a way, people talk about Trico from The Last Guardian being, like, the best new, like, companion character. People are talking about Elizabeth from Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
Dude, BT. BT is where it's at, bro. BT's he's always just best. Like, he's just, hop in my hand, Cooper, and I'll throw you
fucking 900 miles an hour. This and I'm is like, probably over 30 seconds at this point. I just want to be, if you're well, still
but listening. Well, I mean, that, the spoiler stuff, the spoiler stuff's over. There's no more, if you're listening, the spoiler stuff's over.
I think my favorite part about Titanfall 2, the campaign, they start off by saying, you're literally just a grunt in the army, and you idolize pilots. Pilots are like this ultimate killing machine. They're the most highly trained, just like badasses of this universe, and yeah. You feel that when you're watching this happen. They're giving you a little montage of a pilot just kicking ass, and you watch it and you're like, damn, that's cool. And you think like as you play, you become that before you know it. And,
yeah.
And so you're doing all these crazy stunts and just doing the coolest shit, and you're like, holy shit.
The game has a really good natural progression in skill and
you ability. Grow with it.
Yeah.
Theming.
Yes.
Theming. Yeah, no, it's real good. I think that's the contender for either the winner or the runner-up. Doom, here's Doom. I know Doom is I'm the one. I'm not going to get any support on this, I don't think. Here's the problem, is that, Kevin, you didn't play Doom, did you?
I didn't get a chance to.
It's because you played that completely terrible multiplayer.
Oh, the beta. No, I have to admit,
the multiplayer beta was garbage.
And I loved it.
Okay, well then you like.
Then I just love trash. What can I say?
But here's the thing: is the Doom. Go ahead.
Let me just throw this out
there. Go ahead, Kevin.
I listened to them talk about it on Besties, which is a not Polygon podcast.
It's people from Polygon who made their own Game of the Year podcast,
and the way that they talked about it single-handedly made me want to play this game.
Well, the thing is because
despite the beta,
the beta came out and it was multiplayer and it just wasn't good. It wasn't good Doom multiplayer. Wasn't good multiplayer in general. But then the campaign is what projected, propelled it forward, and no one thought that they were going to be able to do a good Doom campaign in 2016. Sure. Just wasn't going to happen. But the fact that they pulled it off and the music is so fucking good. Like,
that's a really good point.
The music is what makes that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it punctuates it almost in the way that rhythm games do.
For the record, I was going to play it today. We just don't have it on our Xbox.
Yeah, no, I must have rented it instead of purchasing it. I mean, guys, I don't want to overstate this right now, because it'll come up later, but guys, Doom is probably really, yeah, it's real fucking good. I mean, right now it's looking like Titanfall 2 is going to be up there. It's between Doom and Battlefield 1.
Let me tell you why you're wrong about Doom, because Battlefield 1 was amazing.
You know what, I'm 100% there, but Battlefield 1 was short and sweet.
That's exactly, remember my previous comment about
Doom was long and good throughout.
Okay, but the thing about Battlefield is it made me feel something.
Doom made me feel something, fucking a rock-hard erection as I shot demons in the face and ripped their fucking heads off.
Battlefield, like, the intro to Battlefield is literally you playing as, like, six different soldiers that just die.
In the mud. The
whole point is to die.
In the mud.
And then you see their names, and you see a flash of the years that they lived, and you're like, well, that sucked.
I remember when that happened in Call of Duty fucking 4.
Well, and since that point, it sets a precedent. It sets a tone for the rest of the game, and you feel uncomfortable.
I'm just gonna stop you. Tyler's been—he's just been reaming. Yeah, what's on your mind, bro?
Well, I've ground down my molars jumping at this bit here. So Battlefield, you said it was short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Now the thing that I like to ask is, did it overstay its welcome?
That's
a good one.
I don't think Battlefield overstayed its welcome because of the fact we're talking about Battlefield.
The way that it's structured, I think.
Well, yeah, because it's not like one long campaign.
Right.
It's mini campaigns, and I think in that aspect, it's really cool. But what I lose from that is a focus. Like, oh,
it's
cool.
It's a cohesive narrative, but I think a lot of us have read the book on World War I, so we know what happens.
Well, but the thing is the difference between Doom and Battlefield here is that I would much rather play a very high-octane first-person shooter for 10 hours that feels great throughout than to play a game that is essentially, here's some first-person shooting, here's some vehicle combat, then here's some tank combat. Like, it's very much segmented in that way, where if you're playing Battlefield 1, the chapter where you're part of the tank, the tank crew.
Yeah.
Because by the way, if you're not picking up on this, Battlefield 1 is not one cohesive long.
It's
you don't follow one. Yeah, it's vignettes. So you have one where you're a pilot, you're a tank gunner, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a message carrier, and then I forget what the end thing is. But
the last one is in the Suez.
Okay. Yeah.
You're playing
down in the Suez.
Basically, around the same time, Lawrence of Arabia.
Okay, so it's all cool and shit, but like at any point, if you're in a tank level and you're like, I want to shoot someone in the face, you really can't, you're playing the tank level.
Okay.
On the flip side, Doom doesn't have any vehicles, but you're kind of shoehorned into the thing. And the thing about Battlefield that I don't like is the vehicles.
Here's the thing.
Hmm.
Here is why that is an unfair angle to take. And that's what this whole podcast is going to be about. It's going to be point and counterpoint. Your point is that there's not enough freedom. My counterpoint...
Kevin's point is that you're wrong.
My counterpoint is that you're wrong. And here's why.
See?
What was your... What? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Looking at Battlefield from the context of other shooters is a bad way of looking at Battlefield.
But I would say Battlefield, in comparison to Doom and Titanfall, has the weakest story... Well, maybe not the weakest story, but has the weakest overall package. Dude, Battlefield 1 sounds really good, but the music is meh.
Yeah. I mean...
No. In my opinion, if you're going to... Because the only way we're going to get a...
What could be cooler than running through a crashing Zeppelin that's on fire and then diving off of it at the end?
Oh, I know. Crashing through a Zeppelin as a Titan.
As it floats... Fuck. As it floats over the streets of London.
Okay.
How much cooler can you get than that?
Literally,
as a pilot who is not a pilot, who won a game... Actually... Lost a game of poker and still took the plane. That's cool as shit.
It's almost as cool as when you're going up in the elevator in Doom and the guy's like, "Oh, you really gotta listen to this," and you just literally punch the fucking radio and then load your shotgun, jump face first into hell, right as this fucking progressive guitar rip, just like da na 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 na. Like in Battlefield, it's like, yeah, Battlefield, it's all like. That's Halo.
Oh,
it's okay, guys. It's looking. It looks like Titanfall 2 is going to be the winner, and either Battlefield 1 or Doom is going to be the runner-up. You know what? I liked Battlefield 1 enough where I'll concede it, because Doom's going to come back later.
It's not to say that Doom was a bad game, because the verdict is still out for me. I can't in good faith vote for Doom without having played it, although I understand the potential of it. I'm going to say Titanfall 2.
I think all three of us are kind of in agreement on Titanfall 2 being the best campaign of the year.
Yes.
But Tyler, unless you want to go Doom with me
over Battlefield. I'm going to make a case... for Doom over Battlefield. And that is that Doom went straight for its roots.
Yeah.
And brought it back hardcore and just blew it out of the water.
Here's what I will say is that Battlefield 1 did exactly that, but I think that Doom did Doom better than the originals did. Like, better than... Doom, for a long time, was just a hallway shooter, you know?
Right.
It got its whole thing because it's like demons and fire and blah, blah, blah. But this is the first time when, as the Doom guy, you feel like you just give no fucks. You're a total badass. Like, there's some story and some lore there that usually was just kind of like a byline. Or like, you know, you gotta kind of figure it out from the level title.
It's still on sale.
What, I'm Doom? Yeah, Doom is...
Yeah.
Doom
I guess... I
mean, both of them can go either way.
You would like that over being an Italian soldier who goes from, taking over a town to being sabotaged and then getting in a giant, like, juggernaut suit with this huge-ass machine gun that you just cut people down with and then getting bombed and then jumping on a flak gun and shooting down a bomber. I could see why you would rather be a guy that just likes
Ooh, well, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's guilt trip each other.
the whole point is that you it's democratic.
No, it's clearly
you've been outvoted.
Yes, no, you're
but
right, you're
but
right.
To that point, Doom isn't. If Battlefield 1 is like a very good experience overall,
yeah.
Doom is the sum of those parts. In it's just moment by moment by moment. Like the moment you just said,
Battlefield is the mall when you're a kid. Doom is DZ Discovery Zone.
Yes, and I'm feeling way more Discovery Zone in 2016.
It's fun
right
to be at the mall, but it's fun because there's a lot of potential to be at the mall. Like,
yeah, there's so many things you can do. Fun.
Whereas with DZ, you go in and literally do anything for like hours or until your parents are tired of eating cardboard pizza.
So maybe not the best analogy, but
it's a great analogy.
So like Titanfall 2
game of the year.
Is our, well...
Analogy of the year.
Discovery Zone, game of the year 2016.
Okay, like 90% of the audience is going to know what the hell Discovery Zone is.
90% of our audience, I believe, is like 90. Kids, so I would
say, but that's a really good point.
But Discovery Zone is like off people's radar now. I don't know.
Discovery Zone is like if you're in a major area and you have a science center that has cool gadgets and stuff, like we do in Cleveland. It's like the
same thing, yeah.
It's like I mean, a playground. Discovery Zone, it's science center, but kids. Way more kids.
Well, no, it's not even science. It's just a playground. It's just like
a bounce house?
Yeah, I mean, it's that kind of shit. More or less.
Anyway.
Anyways, moving on. Okay, so best first-person shooter campaign goes to Titanfall 2 for 2016 with Doom running it up.
Okay.
So now that we have that, let's flip it over. Let's go with best 3DS game.
Okay, so we've got...
Yeah, we've got system.
Pokemon Sun and Moon. We'll list those as a cohesive whole because they're more or less the same.
There's going to be no world in which Pokemon Sun wins and then Pokemon Moon's the runner-up or some shit. So Pokemon Sun and Moon.
I mean, Pokemon Sun's better. But anyway, just kidding.
Let's not fucking start this.
Monster Nala would kick the shit out of Soul Gear. All right,
so Pokemon Sun and Moon,
Monster Hunter Generations, Kirby, Robobot, Fire Emblem, Birthright, and Conquest. Again, we'll bundle those. Rhythm Heaven, Mega Mix.
Okay,
those are what we got.
Let's go down the list. You know what?
Do we want to eliminate first, like we did before, or do we want to just like go?
We
want to
talk about
Royale?
Them all, and then we'll decide.
Yeah, but some of them are much
kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah, you know what? Like
Monster Hunter Generations was great, but it just didn't capture my imagination. Like,
let
the
me ask
ones
you,
have.
Why is Pokemon Sun and Moon on this list?
Because it's best 3DS, and it's a 3DS game.
That's like.
I'm sorry.
Above all the other games, why is it on this list to you?
Oh, we talk about Pokemon right now? I thought Pokemon was going to be like one of the shoo-ins, so we'd hold that for later.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
let's discuss Monster Hunter Generations real quick, because you two played it and I have not, and that's like something else on this list, and I'll just... So let's talk Monster Hunter Generations real quick. We can decide to keep it for a little bit. We don't have to disqualify it right away.
Collectively speaking, Monster Hunter has taken the most hours from my friends of any other game.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how it always has been. Monster Hunter has been like the time vampire of your entire friend group for years.
But this one has not.
Indeed.
It's not captured your imagination?
I played under 100 hours, did you?
You guys fell off real hard. And let's just judge it.
Under 40 hours.
Yeah, I think I agree.
This is sad.
Just, I mean, you guys can't hear it because our catalog doesn't go back that far, but these guys were talking about it literally every episode last year.
We were so excited.
Yeah, you
and
guys
it was
were
good.
Constantly.
It was still good, don't get me wrong. It was a fantastic game. It was everything I like about Monster Hunter, but even a little bit more accessible. Because the whole point of Monster Hunter, it's like Dark Souls. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be difficult and supposed to be technical. This one eliminated a little bit of that technical aspect for the favor of better gameplay, and it worked, but I just don't think we were as committed as we were last year.
It's good for newcomers like me that never decided to pick it up. I mean, but what it sounded like is that it was a good bridge of a gap between those who are veterans and knew the franchise versus those who wanted to come in, but it lost something in there because of
it. Yes.
I just don't know what it is.
There's just some magic.
Well, here's the thing. I think we're forgetting that one game just needs two votes to stay on the list. Mm-hmm. So do we want to keep it or do we want to just get rid of it right now?
I say we keep it for now.
All right, let's keep it for now. Let me move on to this.
Well, what did Tyler want to say about that real quick? Because he was notably silent.
About what?
It irks me so much that this game that we've been waiting for years. The fact of the matter is that when Josh, Tyler, and I started playing Monster Hunter in high school... That was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying. I've been friends with you guys for a while, and this one did not seem to simmer as hard as you guys used to be, like, into it.
We've talked about it before. We played Monster Hunter Freedom 2 for PSP until our PSPs broke, bought new ones, and played those until they broke.
Yeah.
Like, we've literally logged 3,000 hours total on that one game, and then it changed. And, like, we started over. That's the thing. We've started over 6 times now.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And like in Monster Hunter, I've been with you guys for about 3 titles on this. The second time I started over, it was a welcome thing because there were new weapons, there were new techniques, things you could do. It was fun. This one, when you started over, it seemed like there was a lot of slog to get through to really open up the game. Whereas before, it seemed a lot easier.
The only thing I'll say is that from all the Monster Hunter stuff I've ever seen, and it's not been a franchise that I've followed, Monster Hunter Generations is the first one where I saw other people besides you guys who I knew were fans of it playing. Like, my little brother picked it up, that other side of my friend group picked it up, and they were not Monster Hunter players.
Right.
So it does, I mean, that's the reason it made it on this list in the first place, is the fact that I saw way more about it, and I actually wanted to play it, which I never had a reason to. But with you guys talking like this about how it just kind of disappointed you in the long run, I don't think it hangs on this list.
I don't think it disappointed me. It's just not something, it's not a priority, is what it is. Whereas before, it was a priority for us.
You know what it is for me?
Tell me your woes, Bub.
It was the end of four and the beginning of this. Because you know what you're looking for now at the end of four.
Right.
With the Apex monster, you know what I'm talking about? You'd like level up these quests at the end of four.
Is this the death of a franchise?
No,
absolutely
not.
They could revive it easily by taking everything out and going back.
Or making the MMO accessible to the one.
We need to do a most disappointing games next year.
This might be it.
We're going to have to. All right, so you know what? I'm going to take Monster Hunter Generations off.
Take it off.
And we're going to switch over here to... this is the one I don't think I'm going to get much support for, but I just want to make a case for it. Fucking Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix, dude.
Now, you...
I tried to get you on this.
Here's the thing. It's very good.
Real quick, before you jump into it, Rhythm Heaven Megamix is the sequel to Rhythm Heaven, which was a DS game, and then this launched on a 3DS digital store only, as far as I know. There might be carts out there, I'm just unaware, but it's basically like WarioWare, but they're all rhythm games.
Now,
I thought that was going to be right up your alley, dude.
It is right up my alley, and I love rhythm games. The problem with it is, there's no, like... I hate the music. I hate it.
Well, it's fine because, I mean, it's...
That's the most important part for me, which is why I like things like Rock Band Blitz.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Which is a garbage game.
When you're taking a rhythm game, the music is about 80% of it.
Is this the one you had me try over the summer?
Possibly.
With the creep, like the weird, like goofy illustration.
Yeah, and you hold your tap. I liked that.
I thought that was fun. It was fun.
I mean, if you're gonna offer some support on this one, I mean, I'll keep it on there. Let's talk about these next two real quick. You know what? Let's just do it now. Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Okay. Dude,
all right. Someone else start.
Easily my favorite 3DS game of the whole year. I know that's giving it away a little prematurely, but there's just no contender.
Well, at the end, we have Game of the Year and Indie Game of the Year, which all three of us will get to pick our own. But
easily, first of all, one of the only games that I have legitimately gotten excited for to the point where I felt like it was when I was a kid, you know, and new Pokemon would come out.
That's a lot of the comparison that I was going to make. Go ahead.
Sorry. The other point I want to make is that I have not beaten it yet.
Well, here's the thing is that I have not played Pokemon since Pokemon Blue. Like, I have not sat down and finished a Pokemon game.
Right.
I have not even played anything in between. Like, I maybe touched Gold for, like, 5 minutes, but I have not played Pokemon. I've been out of it since I had my Game Boy Color. And then something about this one, dude, it was striking people differently. There were some changes to the format. I had hype for it. I bought it. Full price. Never do that with 3DS games. I usually just rent and borrow them, whatever. Played it to completion, or beat the main over arc, or whatever, and fully enjoyed my time. And I never felt at any point was I lost. We have to accept the fact that I am somebody who played Pokemon, if we're going to talk about it, Pokemon 1.
Right.
And we're now on Pokemon, what, 15, 16 this would
something
be?
Something like that.
Technically, I believe like Pokemon this is 10.
Okay, so Pokemon 10.
Of this style where you run around and collect your dudes and then
you
are a Pokemon trainer. That style.
Oh, yeah, because there's other Pokemon games.
Mystery Dungeon, etc.
But pinball. Going from Pokemon 1 to Pokemon 10.
Knocked that. I love that.
Pokemon 10. And I didn't lose anything in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, that speaks to great handle on your franchise and your game in general.
But that's why Sun and Moon did so well, is they captured the magic of the old games while still retaining a lot of the new features that they've added to the games.
And there was when they took away the gyms, it kind of made room for more kind of variety within the trials. You know, instead of like just going to a building that's full of water peoples, I'm gonna go to this giant waterfall and fight this giant dragon Pokemon.
They had cool stuff like the different trainers on the routes and the main trainer, like the ace trainer at every route. So you beat all the trainers and they all have different Pokemon. They all have different challenges that you have to overcome.
Yeah.
And then you face the ace trainer and it's just cool.
It all feels like it was tightened in a way that I hadn't seen before.
Instead of it instead of this punctuation of each town having a gym,
yeah,
it was a long,
it felt like a journey,
winding path. It did. It felt like a journey, and that was, and that's what the whole story is about.
Which Pokemon originally kind of felt like more like, get up to this point, I beat this level.
Right.
Get up to this point, I beat this guy.
Right.
Pokemon, it just seems like you're making little accomplishments as your guy grows and grows, and before you know it, you're like, shit, I got a legendary, and like, I'm right on top of the mountain, I'm the king of the castle, dude. Like, dude, that game is so good. And maybe I'm just missing out on all the other Pokemon games, but I hear all this stuff about, I had so much anxiety coming into this hearing about all the additions they had made since Pokemon Blue, and I was just, everything was explained well, it was clear and concise to understand, which sometimes I have an issue with JRPGs on them, but dude, Pokemon Moon, I mean, it's my winner, unless we're going
to
have
anything. No, I don't have any objection to that.
Tyler, you haven't spoken much.
Well, there's a reason for that, and it's because the way it gripped you guys, it did not grip me.
Oh, how far did you make it, by chance? Do you make it to past
third island?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the third or fourth, too, and I just stopped playing for now. Again, it's not a priority.
We have a lot of games I have to play.
But I definitely want to go back to it.
I feel like this is another one of those Monster Hunter things for me. I think I've started over too many times.
Well, and the other thing is you've grown as a person, so the games that may have appealed to you at one point in time, again, it's this thing about, it's what you're willing to set aside to make it a priority.
So
you know, if you had the time that you had before to play things like Monster Hunter ad nauseum, you know, you would make it a priority. So instead of going to hang out and play GTA with us, or, you know, hop on and play some Overwatch with your cousin, you would be calling Josh and making sure I'm free, and we'd be sitting on the couch, and we'd be breaking our DS's, oh, mounting monsters.
I'm glad you
remember
that.
I mean, it's
time. That was the entirety of Four's life.
I mean, that's how Monster Hunter. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're just going to, obviously, Pokemon Sun and Moon, we're going to keep up there. Unless something else jumps out at us, probably is going to be the winner. But let's look at this, because me and Kevin played this. I'm not sure if Tyler did.
I didn't get an opportunity.
Kirby Robobot.
He's one of my favorite dudes.
Here's the thing about Kirby. You know, Kevin, you take this. You played it more recently.
Robobot was fun, but it was so short.
Oh, yeah, no, but that's the reason I loved it. It's because Kirby is one of those things where it's like, after a while, I'm sick of sucking dudes off. I just want to beat some ass.
We got to get those goofs going, man. We've been really just like,
hey, man, we're a gaming podcast. We're also a comedy podcast. There's a little bit of both, but this is definitely
here, but the way Matt looks,
this is definitely more of the gaming side.
He's got a face for radio.
You'll have to forgive us if
you're more for the comedy.
Yeah, because we're,
believe it or not, we're still games journalists. Yeah,
I was going to say, if you haven't figured it out yet, we're a little passionate about video games.
I'm crying.
No, Robobot was great. Robobot was great because it introduced the Robobot.
Dude, maybe it was just the one thing it needed, because it's not like Kirby Robobot didn't do anything completely different. It just added a cool mech, and the game was super easy.
Which they had back in Mega Man X, so I don't know why.
It took Kirby... It added one cool little feature that broke up the monotony of just running around sucking dudes up and taking their powers. And it didn't over... The one thing that Kirby kind of loses me on in, we're talking Super Nintendo Kirby's, is how big the levels can be and how backtracky sometimes if you're trying to get 100% completion. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily lost in this game, but it's
not a Metroidvania, so why should it have Metroidvania-like
exactly, and maybe it's just the fact that I'm older now and I don't like spending as much time with a game. But if a game can be like, just... how does that make you feel? Real nice and bubbly for a good 4 hours? And I'm like, yeah, that's a good experience. I will take that when it comes to like mobile games or handheld games over a 20-hour experience any day. Especially when it concerns one of the greatest icons in gaming that hasn't been serviced very well in the past 5-10 years.
Five years, 10 games.
Yeah.
When it comes to Kirby, the most fun I've ever had, and you guys can correct me on this because I don't know which one it was where you could combine powers.
Crystal shards
for 64.
You're welcome.
Was that it?
Yeah,
it was still 2D.
Where you had the power and then you like crystal shards from you and yeah, threw it at somebody.
No, the one where you could suck up two different creatures and you could combine their powers.
And what was one of the powers that you could think of?
I don't recall.
I don't know. It was crystal shards where it started, and that was still 2.5D. But right, that's not Robobot, so it's just,
yeah, no, it let's doesn't
keep,
but that's,
we're gonna be going long, guys. Let's keep it on
that's
on
the
topic.
Most fun that I've had with Kirby. This didn't have that option, so it's
what?
Not as fun to me.
That seems
so. Okay, let's just... I didn't play Fire Emblem Birthright or Conquest.
I played Conquest.
Fire Emblem is not for me. There's too much loss in Fire Emblem.
I like Fire Emblem, but yeah, I mean, it's kind of a... So, Kevin, you're going to have to make a really good case for this one, otherwise it's probably going to go.
I think it's
the
going.
The thing about Conquest, The thing about Fire Emblem is it's another one of those games that you really have to sink your teeth into, because it's all about strategy. It's all about just really, it's a hardcore game, you know, again, like Dark Souls, again, like, you know, some of the more difficult games where there is actual loss. You know what I mean? You lose just a unit and it's gone.
Maybe it's just the fact that I don't want to play super hard games on a handheld, because usually when I'm going to the handheld, I've already played my games for the day and I'm just like trying to do something silly.
Honestly, my 3DS is my go-to. My 3DS is the thing that I love to play more than anything, because I can bring it wherever the hell I want.
He's still on Kirby here. Tyler's showing us pictures of Kirby.
I'm going to say that Conquest and Birthright can be taken off only because you two just haven't played it, so there's no point voting for it.
I mean, I hear it's okay. Very, very, very good. I hear good.
They're fantastic. The story's good. I love the concept of playing two different games that have two completely separate stories. You're either with your adopted family trying to take back land from your real birth family, or you are with your birth family trying to push back these so-called savages that are taking over your land.
It's very interesting.
And it's so cool.
Tyler, do you have anything to say about this Fire Emblem?
I wish I did. I wish that I had the drive to play this kind of game.
Did you hear anything? I mean, everything I heard is kind of what Kevin said, is that it's very good. But like you said, it's also, I mean, it's not a stressful game, but it's a heavy game.
It's worth picking up, but definitely it is not a heavy game. It is not 3DS Game of the Year.
Okay. Well,
It's not, but
I would like to say that from what Andy told me about it, that it's still a good Fire Emblem game. It still has that. Everything that Fire Emblem has been from the time of NES, if you could read Japanese in 8-bit, then it is still what it is. It's still good. Fire Emblem, and it's good.
Yeah.
There's
something to say for that.
I think some better experiences came out this year, though. All right, so what it comes down to, guys, is, I mean, we've said our piece. Here's where it gets in.
I think Sun and Moon is the clear winner of this category.
For you.
So unless all three of us are ready to concede onto Megamix, which Tyler's not, unless you're going to go for Robobot, I think Pokemon wins this.
Unless
all three of us are cool with just going Robot and saying, fuck the system.
Do you have a dark horse?
I have a dark
horse? If you have another horse in this race that you want to throw in, nominations are
all good. Yeah, I want to throw another horse in this race against Pokemon and Kirby.
If you have...
You know what?
Maybe
here,
you have one out of fucking... If you have one out of left field that I fucking forgot about, bud, just bring it in, dude.
Stock market crashers.
That fucking doesn't count. That shit's so good.
It's so addicting. It's so good. Ooh, you know it's so addicting.
All right,
I think that's the best new Plaza category. Game of the year.
Yeah, new Plaza category. Game. Plaza game of 2016.
Here's the spoiler alert. It's stock market
crashers. Stock market crashers wins our best category. Our best... all right, so back onto the main software of 3DS. Right,
so between the two, we got Pokemon for Kevin. 100% we got Pokemon. Rhythm Heaven for Matt.
Well, we all get two votes kind of here.
Yeah.
We're voting for winner and then runner-up.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So unless all three of us, you know, I mean, we can decide somewhere in here, but I think I'm the only one who's getting support for Megamix. Kevin played a teeny bit of it, so I don't think it should win outright.
I loved it, but I wish I could have played more.
I think Robot is a little bit too short, to be honest.
I'm not gonna vote for it.
I don't say Robot wins.
What I will vote for...
What?
For my runner-up.
Yeah.
Well, shit, I don't know. I have...
Okay, so
I'm going to give all of my points to Robobot and runner-up to Rhythm Heaven.
Okay. Damn!
Really? You didn't play Robobot?
It does not matter.
You dislike Pokemon so much that you'd vote for a game that you haven't played? Yes.
But if he's taking it... But see, that's also what a lot of this is going to come down to, is that we have not all played these games. We at least know enough to talk about them, but we're going to be going off of what the other person says. What Tyler just did is that he accepted our argument, and he's voted with that.
So here's what I want. When you play Robobot, you admit that you were wrong on a future... No, I'm just kidding.
Here's what we're going to do.
If that is the case, okay, when right, I play right, Robobot...
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. I'll concede Megamix. We do Pokemon winner and Robobot runner-up.
I disagree. Right.
Are you okay? Okay.
It doesn't matter because supersede my vote.
What do you say?
I would say either Monster Hunter or Fire Emblem would be my runner-up. I'm going to stick with Monster Hunter simply because it's...
I could be swayed into Monster Hunter, but Tyler won't be able to.
It's because I was so let down by it, but like,
I don't think
that's not how I'm supposed to look at this.
Do you think you were less let down by Pokemon or Monster Hunter? Which one?
Let me throw this out there before you say anything.
Let down by? Go ahead.
Let me throw this out there before you say anything. I don't think you were let down by either of them. I just don't think that
you liked them as much as you thought you were gonna.
Yeah, I think maybe it's either a degree of you thought they were gonna be more than they were. I don't think that disqualifies their quality as games. I think there were redeemable things about both of them. They just weren't a priority to you. I think that's how this should be voted on.
So what was my priority? What was the priority to me? What did I do?
What game did you play the most on 3DS?
On 3DS?
Yeah.
I barely touched my 3DS.
Oh, we know.
But you bought the new Monster Hunter 3DS.
Well, I mean, because I wanted it. Well, I wanted it to be good. I wanted it to be perfect, and it wasn't perfect.
He's getting angry. Dude, we've already yelled at each other, and it's only on the second fucking category. This is so good.
This is good. No.
Okay.
Can you grab that box that's in the cauldron over there?
Oh, of course.
Sticking out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Look at some... That's some good audio.
Good ASMR for you. Enjoy that.
ASMR. He's overlooking his games real quick. Legend of Zelda Ocarina of
while
Time.
He's doing that. While he's doing that. I think that's my copy.
Okay.
While he's doing that.
No, it's mine. I bought one, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Hey, speaking of, somebody has my Link Between Worlds. I'm going to have to beat them down.
I have it.
Anyway.
You're not going to beat me.
I agree with you that I was not as enamored with Monster Hunter as I was before. But I think that change was in me and not the game.
Look, all I know is that Pokemon Sun and Moon wins this shit. It's about a runner-up.
Oh, for sure.
And right now, Kirby Robot looks nice for a runner-up.
I did not like Robobot as much as... I bought it for a vacation, and it lasted me...
when he got back.
And it lasted me, like, not even a quarter of the car ride.
Okay, so then what do you propose for... You said Monster Hunter. Or Birthright. Okay.
This is everything I wanted to play when I went on vacation.
Okay, I can't you know see...
What, well, it doesn't matter, because, like, none of them are things I played on vacation.
Okay. So looking at that, did little.
Well, no, it tells me that I didn't like anything this year, and that I played the most of Hyrule Warrior Legends.
That's terrible.
To be fair, it was kind of a weak year for 3DS.
Yeah. I mean, Nintendo's doing a lot of moving and shaking.
Yeah, let's do something with that. Switch.
They've been doing a lot of moving and...
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. So, Tyler, conclusion.
Drunk.
You are entitled to your full opinion.
I mean, I still am going to go with Robobot first, and I will still give runner-up to Rhythm Heaven.
Okay.
Because it makes sense. Okay, like, it did the same thing again well.
So...
I think we have different value judgments of games, and that's why we're having a hard time agreeing.
Yeah, no.
He's clearly focusing on games doing the same thing well.
I'm just about getting small experiences.
I am a fan of innovation and new change and creation and stuff like that.
Okay, I just say fuck it. I say we go Pokemon Sun and Moon.
With no runner-up.
I say we go Pokemon Sun and Moon for win, and then we take that.
I vote no runner-up too, actually. There's nothing good enough
to be
runner-up.
There's nothing good enough to be runner-up.
I vote that. There's no runner-up.
All right, Pokemon Sun and Moon wins. No runner-up.
No contest. Here's what we'll do. LRA start.
Pokemon Sun and Moon wins full-handedly with honorable mentions for Fire Emblem, Monster Hunter, and Kirby Robot.
I'm cool with that.
But not Rhythm Heaven?
Rhythm Heaven is just my love child. Also Rhythm Heaven.
There you go. Enjoy that.
Rhythm Heaven's the runner-up. Okay, let's go back. With that, we are 40 minutes in.
Wow.
Let's go on Adderall real quick.
Oh, boy.
Hey guys, this episode was brought to you by Audible.com. If you like audiobooks, Audible is actually the leading provider of audiobooks anywhere on the internet that you can find. Do you like good audiobooks?
No.
Do you like them read to you by good old-fashioned people who know what they're talking about?
No, I like it read to me by elves.
Well, we're not doing that because we're running low on time this week.
This week there's no...
So I recently signed up for Audible. guys, I pulled the trigger. I was like, let's do this thing. I finally decided my book. And then I had a bunch of second guesses. So should I get Nosferatu?
Oh, boy.
It.
Mm. Nah.
See, dude, but it is it's 40. Good.
It is classic.
Look, just because it's expensive.
It's 44 hours versus the 12 hours that is Nosferatu.
Dude, if you want. 44 hours. If you want a bang for a buck. If you want a long Stephen King book, The Stand. Get The Stand.
I could also do that.
That's even longer than it.
Just this conversation shows you that there is The Stand. There is plenty. Motherfucker.
All right. Here's the other thing I want to mention. Yeah. I bought my brother-in-law 3 months of Audible for Christmas.
Hell yeah.
Because he commutes from South Carolina to New York once a week to
hope
work.
Hope you use that audibletrial.com/SGC64 there, bud.
Whoops.
Not to buy gifts. You can't do it like that.
Oh, whoops. Sorry. Sorry,
Audible. Only if you're signing up for yourself.
Oh, true.
You dummy.
I don't know.
And it's free. If you decide to go to audibletrial.com/SGC64, you get a free month of Audible, and you can decide if you want it for your commute.
Yeah. Essentially what it is it's one free audiobook. You can pretty much get anything that you want on the entire site. If you want to continue, it's $15 a month and you get a free audiobook. Basically, the reason is $15 is much cheaper than if you want that new audiobook the day it comes out. You're probably going to be saving yourself about 70% just going with Audible instead of buying it flat out.
And you can cancel it the moment you start it. So you get a free audiobook and there are no strings attached.
Tyler, unless you have some crazy suggestion on Left Park, I see we get back to...
Not really, no, but I do know that the day The Fireman came out, I bought into Audible and used my token day of, again, that it came out to get the brand new book, Fireman, by Joe Hill.
Used the free token.
The free... Yeah. I got an Audible trial the day The Fireman came out. Used that token to get a brand new book. Day of.
So here's a fun hack. Go back in time, sign up for Audible, and then instead of spending the money on that new Harry Potter book you thought was going to be good, you could have just got it for free and then not have had that horrible feeling of wasting your money. Audibletrial.com/SGC64. Get your free audiobook today. It ain't just a few that you can pick from. It's pretty much anything you want. It helps the show out. We appreciate it. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/SGC64 for your free audiobook. Once again, thank you, Audible.
Thank you.
Let's get back to the show. Oh, boys. Whew. This one's going.
It's moving.
We might have to break this shit into two parts.
You want to break it into two parts?
Let's see.
We certainly could.
Let's see how multiplayer FPS works out.
All right.
There's our category. It's multiplayer, first-person shooter. Once again, we are not talking about anything that has to do with the campaign, just what is offered within the multiplayer. We're going Titanfall 2.
Yep.
Overwatch. Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Battlefield 1. And Star Wars Battlefront. Right out the gate, Battlefront's
getting Battlefront off of there.
Take that off. Of this list.
Battlefront,
this disgrace.
Battlefront looks really good, and it does Star Wars battles very well,
yeah,
but there's just not enough.
It was ambitious, but vapid.
It looks just as good as Battlefield 1, and like I said, there has not been a game that has done Star Wars battles. Like, oh my, it's so, like, the first time I played it, I was blown away. And I had great fun.
Until you realize by a giant laser, right?
True. Yeah. I mean, essentially, okay. It was a giant AT-ST. It was like, pew, pew, and I was fucking dead. But the way that they use heroes and like villains. And
sorry, I just thought of those videos of Darth Vader walking on top of a thing.
Look up the video. I'm not going to do it
it's
for
great.
It.
It's great. It's good stuff.
Darth Vader is doing the thing. Anyways, yeah, Star Wars Battlefront come off unless anybody's going to make some sort of suicide pact for this thing.
No, I have no qualms with that.
Bye-bye.
Okay, here's going to be a comparison. I think Call of Duty Infinite Warfare is better than Titanfall Online.
I haven't played it.
I don't think you guys have, but I think...
I'm inclined to disagree.
I would never give the duders more monies.
Well, I have, and I would just say that Infinite Warfare... I mean, it's tough because both of them have great unlock systems.
Yeah.
Like, both of them have insanely rewarding unlocks. There's always that, oh, one more
that
game.
Nice little treadmill.
I will say that Titanfall 2 does the way you level up with merits.
I love that idea.
Better than Call of Duty.
That's the best.
But I would say that Call of Duty gives you more options when it comes... Or it has better unlockables because after you play Titanfall 2 for a while, I think we even said on the show, like, most of the rigs just end up kind of sucking. Like, most of the Titans just aren't all that awesome.
Well, yeah, we have talked about that. And...
But that's what makes it good to me.
The difference there being that in Call of Duty, every rig you get is awesome. They're completely different. Like, what I think they tried to do with Titanfall, like, you have Ronin. He's obviously a melee kind of support, or a melee class Titan.
High risk, high reward.
Exactly. And then you have Northstar, who's also kind of the same. He's a glass cannon. Right. And then you have your tankier ones, and then you have your assault classes. Right, like Call of Duty, on the other hand, has a class that's fully for snipers. Also has a class where you can like run over people, get more power ups for your overall ultimate. There's one that you can slide further. There's one where you can go into an alternate dimension.
The perk system, right?
No, this isn't perks. This is like Titanfall. You pick a rig, which is your overall kind of like you get if you haven't played Infinite Warfare, it's much different than previous Call of Duties and Black Ops have been.
All right, never mind.
Here's all I'm going to say is that Titanfall 2, I played with you, Kevin, when it came out. We got to, I don't know, you got way further than me, but I played like, you know, a good 4, 5, 6 days of it, just loved it, and then it fell off. I'm still going back to Infinite Warfare. This is going to be the first Call of Duty I prestige in.
Titanfall 2 is one of the only first-person shooter multiplayers that I have become this engrossed in.
I will give you that. I don't think it's very good.
I don't think I'm certainly not playing it as much as I used to, but that's because I've moved on to other games.
Yeah.
That being said, when I play Titanfall 2, I feel like a badass.
You do. But I gotta tell you, dude, Infinite Warfare gets that same exact thing. Gives you that same exact feeling. I mean, the difference is that I'm gonna be a little bit honest here, Titanfall 2 is a little bit less skill based because the whole attrition and everything. I'm not trying to fucking throw knives here, but dude, I mean, you get 2 points for, you get like 4 points for killing an enemy, but you can slaughter like 3 or 4 grunts and get the same amount of points.
To be honest, you are fighting a losing battle here because you have two people who are against Call of Duty on principle.
Now,
you shouldn't be against Call of Duty on principle because you guys, this is what you do.
No.
So you should take each game by face value and not just to judge it by the series. Because then I would also say that Titanfall 2 didn't do as much in the multiplayer, that it was more of a campaign game that made it good for me.
I get that. But
this is multiplayer FPS.
Just judging on my reaction to previous Call of Duties, I don't like...
Can't take it that way.
...the gameplay style.
Completely different.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same reason that...
No, I'm saying Infinite Warfare is completely different from Black Ops 3.
But it's the same reason I like the idea of Battlefield multiplayer, but I don't enjoy playing it all that much. Yes. I like it because I get to play with my friends, but I'm also very frustrated by it because...
We dislike Battlefield for different reasons, but I think... I don't like the vehicles, and I don't like how big it is. Call of Duty,
I don't like it as much as I like old Battlefield. That's all.
Honestly, I mean, unless Tyler's going to go bad for Battlefield, I think we talked about enough in single-player campaign.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not going to go for Battlefield.
I'll just remove it off the list because what it does is it gets you that moment-to-moment kind of intensity you feel in the campaign, but with the destructibility of the environment. So I think it does a very cinematic job in its multiplayer, yeah. But I don't think it holds up. I mean, against Titanfall 2, it doesn't, and even against Call of Duty, my opinion doesn't, which is a very unpopular opinion, but it is my opinion.
Just to throw this out there, and it can be the pin, you know, that we put in it, but
yeah.
The cool thing that Battlefield does is... It makes you feel like a pawn in this greater war.
Your
character dies and you spawn in as somebody else, and you just get this idea that it gives you the feeling of World War I and how futile it was, and how
it's a dirty, grimy kind of shooter. It is a grimy shooter.
Yeah, I mean, you feel the mud, you feel the muck, you feel the grossness. Anyway,
I just don't think it tops out.
It does not.
Guys, there's no fucking joke here. It's going to be Overwatch is going to win.
Overwatch, yeah.
Overwatch is going to win.
There's no...
I don't even have to sit here and talk about why Overwatch. I've played to level 6, and I understand why Overwatch is a masterpiece.
Yeah,
I have not played this since it came out. I don't play
Overwatch that much, and I still understand and believe wholeheartedly that it is.
I have watched my younger brother play about 10 times as much of this game that I've actually played, and he's pretty damn good. I think he's like platinum or diamond, whatever the hell that is in ranked. Good. But dude, that game... I don't understand it, but it is great. Like, it looks great. The style, the art direction, fantastic. The way that they kind of... We've talked about
it. The consistent releases that they do?
Yeah, I mean, they've supported it. I mean, I have some problem with the loot boxes, you know, the blind boxes, but...
But it doesn't alter the gameplay. That's the thing.
True, yeah. It's not buy to win. Or it's not pay to win.
Right.
You can't really win out.
It's all...
Which, I will give you, in Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, you can pay to win.
Because
there's weapon variants, so you can get like a SMG that does more damage if it deals headshots but has lower accuracy. So there is some kind of like one-off dual things that aren't always balanced. But honestly, the ability to have like a SMG that is like the epic version of it that has a shotgun attached is way cooler than the whole entire loss I get from it. I mean, it's something that's cool. And also on the flip side, if you're good enough, it doesn't really matter what gun you have, because if I get my sights on you first, like, it's over. That's how Call of Duty usually is.
Yeah.
All right, guys. No one's gonna support me on Infinite Warfare. It's gonna be Titanfall.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Overwatch, Titanfall. In that order.
I'm fine with it because I had fun with Titanfall. I just think that Call of Duty Infinite Warfare is a better game.
I will play Infinite Warfare.
Here's the thing that I say, as I played through the whole entire campaign on stream with Space Brain Gaming, and I fucking hated it. I thought it was the dumbest shit. It looked cool, but it was the dumbest shit. I think that just on its own, if you look at it, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare is much better multiplayer offerings than Titanfall 2.
There's just something so organic about Titanfall 2 to me. There's something.
What's your favorite mode? I just want to bring that
in
up.
In Titanfall 2?
Yeah.
I prefer attrition.
Second favorite mode.
Second favorite mode is hardpoint.
Ooh. Do you even fuck with pilot versus pilot?
Not really.
Yeah, see, at that point. That's the only thing I was going to bring up is that Titanfall 2 is cool, but I really only found myself playing attrition
hardpoint. I like amped hardpoint, that is.
And bounty hunt.
The other thing that's cool about Titanfall is that they're introducing new game modes on a weekly basis. They do like a forge, like you do in Halo.
Yeah.
They have like a system where you can try different games that just aren't the normal, aren't the regs.
I haven't seen them do any holiday updates or anything like that. Call of Duty, they released their own holiday map. Plus, all the maps are free, too.
Same with Titanfall.
Yeah.
I think that same says Gears, too. It's kind of the way it's going.
There's no pay. Well, actually, I think Gears had a season pass.
Yeah, but that's for characters and stuff like that. I think all the maps are free.
The...
I don't know. Regardless, let's move on. Multiplayer...
Gears wasn't even part of this list.
Gears didn't. Multiplayer FPS.
There will probably be some people that are upset about that, though.
Overwatch winning Titanfall 2 is a runner-up.
Overwatch, I mean, it's really hard to counter that.
It's very hard to counter that. Yeah, we're running up close to the hour mark. What I think we should do is we should nail one of these exclusives.
Yeah, why not?
Jeez, just looking at how long this is taking. This might be a three-parter, even. You know what? Here, let's just go PS4 exclusive, because we didn't have very many noms. We just kind of know what this is going to be.
Yeah.
The nominees are Uncharted 4, Ratchet & Clank, and Paragon.
I'll be honest, I don't even know what Paragon is.
Paragon is...
It's a MOBA.
It's like a MOBA. Smite.
Oh, okay.
Smite? Yeah, Smite, but it feels a lot more like League.
Okay.
It's third person, controls like Smite, but unlike Smite, where Smite is more action based.
Yeah,
I think Paragon pulls it off better, but I don't think it's going to hang against Ratchet or Uncharted.
No, I would.
The true question here is what wins and what's runner up.
All right, so here's the problem. Now I don't own a PS4, so it's really hard for me
to play
exclusives. But I did get a really good rundown of the story and how it made my buddy Andy feel like. He's played them all, and he's loved them all, and the way he talks about Uncharted 4, just, like, it made me want to play all of them so I could get that feel.
I've played them all, and I love them all, and Uncharted 4 is almost the weakest of all.
You kidding me?
I swear to God. It is.
That is not the way
they drop the ball so hard. It is so compact, and they open it up with no. They kind of open it up like Tomb Raider about halfway through, but with no sort of focus. You're just kind of dicking around. I watched the whole game. I watched the whole game. I played about 5 to 6 hours of it. It's weak.
Let me throw a wrench into this well-oiled machine we have.
Yeah, go for it, bud.
I think Ratchet & Clank should be disqualified because it's not technically a 2016 release. I mean, it was
No. I'm not gonna play that game because it is completely different. Just because it has some levels and some assets that were from the original game, like, I'm not gonna play that game. Ratchet & Clank is its own game.
Oh.
Well, he was trying to make the argument that it's not a new game because it's technically like a reboot.
You want
to
reboot this? Okay.
Yeah, but we're not going to play that because almost everything is reboot now or fucking days, all right? At that point Doom would not win anything because it's
from 1990.
But it's a new game.
And so is Ratchet & Clank.
Using the same IP. Ratchet & Clank is the same game.
No, it's not.
It's not?
Nope.
No, it's totally different.
Oh, no, okay. It tells the story of the first game.
It does.
With completely different stuff. Right. Yeah, there's some reused areas, but no. All right. Yeah, go ahead, fucking throw a wrench, because I can't even think of a PS4 because that was good.
Here's your wrench. I'm with Tyler on Uncharted.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck, Uncharted's so fucking trash. I hate Uncharted 4. Everyone thinks it's so good, and it's trash, dude. No, it's eating up the fucking holiday or the award season. People think it is the best narrative of all time. Oh, cool, you get to play fucking Crash Bandicoot in the first level. It's so intuitive. Dude, fuck that game. The only good part about is the fact that it lets you play as the kid in the end.
But that makes your opinion the fringe opinion. So, I mean, if we're going based on popularity, it's kind of hard to go against what's literally winning awards.
Everybody who's actually played that game, Kevin, have you played that game?
No.
Tyler, have you played that game?
No.
Everyone who's sat next to and has played that game has stopped halfway through. Except for my one buddy, like Blake. Blake, who did finish it.
Andy.
Well, and Blake finished it, and I mean, he thought it wasn't the best out of all the series. Or maybe he did, I can't remember. But the whole point is,
my best friend is a huge Uncharted fan.
I love Uncharted. Uncharted 2 is my favorite action-adventure game of almost all time. Like, it is almost... I can't say it is the best, because I'm sure there's one other that I like more, but Uncharted peaked with 2. It really did. It peaked with 2, 3 was decent, but 4 just gets so full of itself, and it's just so wishy-washy. The story is, it's almost non-existent. I mean, it's there, but it's just there to be kind of like a retread of like, gotta go get this fucking treasure, because I'm Nathan Drake. Come on, Sully. Oh, and my brother's along this time. Like, it looks cool, but whatever. Fuck it. Uncharted 4 is the fucking PS4 exclusive of the year. I don't care. I really don't.
I mean,
I don't care.
None of us really play PS4.
I can't really speak on this. I don't really have a
voice. I'm just saying, dude. Well, Uncharted 4 has a 9 out of 10 on IGN, 93% Metacritic, and 9 out of 10 on other trusted reviews.
Cool. IGN's awesome, dude. Who wrote that review? Probably a fucking intern. IGN is so wishy-washy.
Don't you write reviews?
Yeah, I do. Exactly. Which is why I don't take anybody's account into, like, now that I write reviews and I can get put on all these websites and all that shit, I really have to look at who's writing the review, because it's just one person's opinion. And with the way IGN's been going lately, it's probably some fucking person who just got in from the UK who's writing over some weird... Dude, it doesn't matter what IGN said. I'll take a Metacritic or a Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, okay. Well, then you won't be surprised to hear that IGN also gave Ratchet & Clank a 9 out of 10.
Fucking great. I believe it.
But across the board, it got lower scores. So
throwing it out there. All right, whatever, guys.
I'm just looking for the popular vote.
I concede. That's the popular vote is Uncharted 4 is great. Super GameCast 64.
You know you can be wrong,
PS4.
Right?
I understand I can be wrong. And I also understand that people can get really bad taste about games that are AAA, like fucking The Last of Us, which is the ladder simulator of the year. Terrible game, Naughty Dog.
I'm not gonna fight you on that.
What?
I'm not going to fight you on that. I played about 15 minutes.
Everyone
of Last of Us
sucks Naughty Dog's dick because I think they're like the greatest of all time. They peaked with 2.
Last of Us was terrible.
Yeah, Last of Us 2 is got a good story, but it's boring as shit to play.
It's not terrible.
This isn't about The Last of Us.
It's just, I don't know.
Okay.
I want more out of a game. That's all.
Are you two really going to fight me on Ratchet & Clank, be a PS4 winner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like tooth and nail?
Actually, no, you know what?
I won't.
I changed my mind.
Tyler's one of the biggest proponents of Ratchet, so that's what I'm saying.
I changed my mind.
What?
Ratchet & Clank.
Ratchet and Clank is the PS4 exclusive of the year.
Not because of your argument, but because of the joy that Ratchet and Clank has brought me.
Ratchet and Clank is
years.
Really, 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 really fucking pretty.
And I really
it's a better looking game.
I haven't gotten into Uncharted. So
Uncharted looks nice, but I think that Ratchet and Clank is prettier.
The way I'm voting is if I was randomly given a PS4 and one of these two games, I feel like I would have more fun with Ratchet and Clank than
I would absolutely have more fun with Ratchet and Clank.
I absolutely had much more fun with Ratchet & Clank. Guys, you don't have to play these games. I already did. I can tell you. Uncharted 4 is poo-poo. It's not poo-poo. It's just not...
I don't agree.
Do you want to do another category?
Yeah, we should probably.
Because we're just fighting.
PS4 yeah. exclusive yeah. goes to Ratchet & Clank, Uncharted 4 as the runner-up.
Paragon is the runner-up.
Paragon is the fucking runner-up. We'll do one more category and then we'll cap it there. We'll come back.
Let's do a good, good category.
78. All right.
Let's do a good, good category.
You know what? You guys want to bring in some indie stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, we can do this one. Best indie action adventure.
Yeah, this is a good one. I thought you were gonna do a different one, and I was like, no. If you want that, other category to go on for 30 minutes, sure.
No, we're not doing that. all right, best indie action adventure. The way we identify independent is that it was not released.
This is gonna be a tough one. There were a lot of late releases that were amazing.
Yeah.
That one on the bottom there is really good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Holy crap.
Okay. So we identify
indie. That was a sleeper for me, though. You know? That was one that I was like, oh, great. I'm going to play this game we
That's
got.
Exactly what I said.
And I started playing it. I'm like, fuck.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me fucking. All right. Independent.
Why don't we let Tyler intro him?
All right. Go for it, Tyler.
Tyler, intro. Tyler.
buddy. This is probably my category, so yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So it's Indie Action Adventure. What are our nominees?
Our nominees for this category is Headlander, Axiom Verge, Cluster Truck, and Manuel Samuel.
This is a stacked list, man.
This is such a difficult
thing. Here's the thing. I don't think Cluster Take Truck... that. I don't think Cluster Truck hangs with Headlander.
No.
Cluster
Truck is just good old-fashioned fun, but it does not hang with these.
Cluster Truck is essentially you just jump from
truck to truck.
And truck to truck awesome. While it's going great, crazy fast.
It is a great physics game.
It's one of those ones you play for maybe like 15, 20 minutes, then you go back to it later.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I... Dude. Okay. Oof. Here's where we're going to get... Okay. Axiom Verge is very good. It is very good, but it's very different from both Headlander and Manuel Samuel.
I would say it shares more with Headlander than it does Manuel Samuel.
Yeah, because they're both Metroidvanias.
Well, I understand, but I'm just saying, in general, because it's got the whole retro vibe going for it.
True, it does have the 16-bit going on.
Which I think adds something to it, but Headlander also has a shit ton of style, and I'm not sure which one wins out. If the retro... Axiom Verge has a ton of really cool power-ups with your weapons... Axiom Verge, once again, is their Metroidvania game, side-scrolling, kind of puzzle action. Headlander is a little bit more puzzle. Shit.
So, okay.
Axiom Verge is cool, but here's what I'll say about Axiom Verge, because it has to be compared to Headlander, because they're the only two things that are similar. Headlander is got less power-ups, but is smarter about how it uses its overall gameplay mechanic. Yeah, you detach your head from a body, and you use other bodies as keys.
Whereas Axiom Verge is something more along the lines of something like Metroid.
Yeah, where you get really, really cool weapons, and it's really well done, but I think...
But it's less puzzle.
But I would say that Axiom Verge is a better game play experience, whereas Headlander is a cooler looking thing. I'm not sure which one is better at this point. How much did you...
Is it you presumptuous of me to just take some stakes out of this and say that Manuel Samuel is our darling of this year?
I'm going to say that Manuel Samuel is probably going to win.
That's my vote, honestly.
Because there could be a Headlander case here.
Definitely.
Because Tyler played a shit ton of it.
But I was obsessed with it for like 7 hours straight.
I also know he really liked Axiom Verge, so I mean...
I did really like Axiom Verge, yeah, but I couldn't... Like, okay, so...
Axiom Verge didn't pull me as much as I thought it was going to. Thomas Happ made a crazy good game. And also, Axiom Verge did come out, I believe, last year. So if we want, we can DQ it because it was out last year. Axiom Verge, I believe, sneak out in 2015 on PS4.
I watched Axiom Verge. I did not play Axiom Verge. I have no opinion on it.
Can you real quick, while me and Tyler stare each other intently and try to figure out Headlander, can you just look at Axiom Verge's release date for PC? Because I don't want to...
Yeah, let's do this.
So here's my problem with Headlander.
For winner? Because right now it's either Manuel Samuel or Headlander. It's going to win. I'm pretty sure Axiom Verge is going to get DQ'd.
Functionality-wise, like, I know that doing this way...
Oh, dude.
...is really shady. What?
It wasn't even late 2015.
Did that drop PC, like, mid-2015?
It initial release date was March 31st.
Jesus Christ. All right, Axiom Verge has to come off the list. I mean, it was
wonderful.
It's not even a
2016 game. It got released on Xbox One and PS4, I believe, this year, but that's just too late.
Originally released for March. In March and April for PS4.
Oh, shit. All right, yeah.
So it's been out for a long time.
In May 2015.
So, Thomas Happ, you made an awesome game, man, but yeah, it's just not on the GLTY.
It was so good it came out of the next year GLTY.
I mean, hey, it made an appearance.
So, my point about Axiom Headlander.
Right now, it's Headlander versus Manuel Samuel.
Right, and I'm having a really hard time with this.
Me too, because Headlander is... You're not?
Not at all.
Well, the thing is that Headlander, I feel like, eventually could lose steam, whereas Manuel Samuel, I've already replayed it twice. Like
Headlander lost steam for me really quick. I love it. I love the atmosphere. I love the concept. I love Double Fine. And mechanically, it is such a tight game. It is so fun.
Jesus
it is so
Christ.
Cool. That's what you think. I just can't force myself to care to finish it.
So
that's it.
The problem I'm having currently is that doors will open randomly on their own.
Oh.
And I can go through them, but I can't get back.
Oh, I mean, if you just diddle around a robot spawn, that happens all the time.
I'm stuck.
Well,
I can't fly in the right direction. I can't pick up a robot. There's nothing for me. I'm stuck.
The thing about Headlander for me is, like, it's just I want to like it a lot more because Again, thematically, it's great.
I'm not lying. It's style over substance.
Yeah, very much so.
And Double Fine usually has a lot of substance, but...
But they also have a lot of style. I mean, look at Psychonauts.
Yeah. Well, Psychonauts, dude, I would argue that Psychonauts has much more substance over style. Like, it's got a very good style, but once again, we're not talking about Psychonauts.
Yeah, no, we're not.
I could talk about
Headlander's a fantastic game. Headlander's a fantastic game. I don't have patience for Metroidvanias.
Yeah, dude, I'm gonna shit. Here's the thing about Manuel Samuel, is that Headlander was a very cool-looking Metroidvania. Manuel Samuel is something we've never gotten before.
Manuel Samuel is charming as shit.
Yeah, it had so much heart, and it was unique in its gameplay. Honestly, when it comes to an indie, I don't think you can really ask for much more than Manuel Samuel.
Like, okay, think about it this way. When you're playing a video game...
It's kind of a good point.
When you're playing a video game, how often do you do the wrong thing on purpose?
That's a true point. Yeah, no, I mean, that's half the fun of Manuel Samuel.
You know what I'm saying? Besides you. You're the only person I know that does that. No. Not even just to try something different. How many times do you do the wrong thing on purpose just because you know it's going to be fun? And, like, it's like the imp of the perverse. Are you guys familiar with that concept? Yep. It's that feeling you get when you look out over a tall height and you just get that weird intrusive thought where it's like, jump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's that. It's that weird little thing in the back of your mind saying, oh, you just poured this hot coffee. Maybe you should try to drink it. And then you're like, no, I'm just going to tweak my right arm and toss it in my face, in my freaking eye.
Well, also, there's something that it speaks to about the fact that Manuel Samuel is far as high... What's the word I'm looking for? Because it's difficult to control. Or not difficult, but it's very weird to control.
Yeah.
The controls are the intuitivity of it that make it fun. For how difficult that can be, or how like stressful that can be at points, trying to figure out like all the controls and stuff.
Sorry, I'm straightening my spine.
No, it's okay. Fuck off. Once again, Manuel Samuel, in case you're unfamiliar, Manuel Samuel is a game where you have to live 24 hours doing everything manual, including breathing.
It's co-op without the frustration.
And blinking.
Yeah, you have to blink, you have to breathe in and breathe out.
Eventually you get this rhythm, and it teaches you how to keep that rhythm to the point where you start doing things wrong on purpose just for the fun of it.
And that's why what I was trying to come back to is that for how complicated the control scheme can be, it feels very low stakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything is fun. It's a fucking game, guys. You're not worried about like, oh, I gotta do this without dying. Right. Like, it's just fun. Like, of course I'm going to pee on myself because I can't straighten my spine. Right. Like, it's funny.
I want to...
Tyler's giving me all the faces.
I want to correct myself. Earlier I said it was charming as shit. What I meant to say was it was charming as feces. Because they say that word a lot in that game.
I mean, also, that game has... It's got its own style with the hashtags moments happen. Dude.
Death being like a millennial skateboarder is some of the funniest shit. Like,
yeah.
The car part in that game was... It was
probably the best part.
Oh my god, like Parappa mixed with like Quap mixed with I don't know. There was just something about Manuel Samuel that was just so...
Did you say Quap?
Yeah. I did.
I really
Quap is so funny.
I really wanted Headlander to win something. I really wanted it to win something, but I think
it might be like innovative. Might be most...
We don't have that category. Manuel Samuel is indie action adventure of the year.
Oh, easily.
With Headlander coming up.
Headlander's
strong,
a very strong.
Dude. Shit, that was tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the first one I felt like there was like actual stakes to it.
Yeah. I think as we get into like narrative driven and stuff like that, it's gonna get even harder.
But I think the next categories, there's some real titans in this next one.
Yeah, so coming up on the next episode, which will be probably out much sooner than later.
Yeah, no, I mean
we're gonna drop these pretty close to each other. You're not gonna have to wait a week.
Yeah. Even.
We're going to be coming up into what might end up being three parts. We will be talking about the best free games we got from Gold and from Plus. We'll have best narrative-driven game. We have best indie RPG, best stealth, best overall RPG, best open world. Guys, things are going to get crazy. Best Xbox exclusive, and then some other ones. Recore.
But it's like, it's in bad.
I know, it's not good, all right? I know, but it's there because it needs to be talked. Shit, we got it. God damn.
We'll talk about it.
I think
next
the
time
thing, I think
on
the,
SGC.
The important thing to remember about these Game of the Years is that aside from the game that we had the most fun with, it's also the game that shook things up a lot. Things that were innovative, things that were daring, and... attempts at things that just don't exist, like Manuel Samuel.
Yeah, dude.
Those are the things that people remember. Those are the things that change the industry, that make this whole damn thing into what we love about it.
It's called How They Build Upon Themselves. It's real good. Shit, guys. I was thinking this was going to be like a 3-hour.
It might be, but just broken up, man. I don't think we should. I don't think any of these poor people can handle us just jabbering into a mic for 3 hours.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. People love.
I can't handle that.
The timbre of our voice. Shit, guys. All right, we'll be back with you a few days after this one. Episode 77. We might just hit 80 by the time before we even get into 2017.
Game of the year, episode 27,000.
Thanks for joining, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
We will announce these things on Twitter as they happen. If you'd like to follow along, at SuperGameCast64. If you'd like to reach out to us personally, I'm at SGC64Matt.
I'm at GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm at, I forgot what I'm at. At T. Tremaglio.
At T. Tremaglio.
What's the Twitter?
Those will all be in the show notes. You can also reach out to us on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/SGC64 spelled out. You can also email us. That's sgc64mail@gmail.com. Or check out YouTube. We work with Space Brain Gaming. That's youtube.com/C.
Shout out to Cal and the crew.
That's youtube.com/C/SpaceBrainGaming1. Word. We will see you guys on the other end of this. Kevin, did you manage to grab a game fact for us? I mean, it's kind of not, and this isn't a normal episode.
Yeah, this is kind of a different one.
Just throw us something nice.
All right. Let's see here.
Yoshi's real name is Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, no, that was last week.
I know,
that
asshole.
Was last week. Okay. StarCraft.
Oh, okay. I like StarCraft. Blizzard.
A lot of people like
StarCraft. They were a winner today.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
It is the first computer game or video game to have ever physically made it into space.
Really?
Yes. It was aboard shuttle mission STS-96 on May 27th of 1999 by mission specialist Daniel T. Barry.
He's just like,
gotta bring this where it belongs, the stars.
Well, just in case, you know, the Protoss are real. And he's like, oh, gotta fucking strategize. The only way to win is to not play. That's War Games.
Yep.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. We will be back with you on episode 78 as we continue our Game of the Year deliberations. Thanks for sticking around for this one. And hopefully we might have brought up some games you hadn't played or something like that. But we'll catch you guys in the next time. As always, stick your mother with a very good game.
We really need to get a better tagline.
You want to go back to the original tagline?
Nope.
Okay. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening.